Good morning. I'm not going to preach 45 minutes or an hour today, so just don't get nervous. And I actually just want to go in the flow of what's been happening with the testimony and share a little bit more personally today. And I want to begin with a few scriptures. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 147:3, God heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. Isaiah 61:1, Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus who is to come, and he says about Jesus, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Will you bow your heads with me? Father, I just want to thank you for caring about the brokenness in our lives, for being close to us, for saving us, for healing us in our brokenness. And I just want to invite your presence right now to bind up, to heal. And I ask for your grace, Father, to impart to others what you have revealed to me in my brokenness. Thank you, Lord. Amen. My interest in bikes started when I was a little girl. There was this man named Perry who drove to church in the summer because in the winter we had snow in New York. And so he would ride, and after church, I would always run up to him, and I'm like, will you take me for a ride? So he'd take me for rides around the parking lot. One time we were going up this steep little hill, and he lost control, and we fell, but, you know, that was still cool. I was back up on it. A few years later, there were a couple young guys who rode their bikes to church, and they were leaving the parking lot, and they went into the gravel, and they got into an accident, and I saw all of this happen as about 8 or 9 year old. And although it was frightening, and I was crying, and the one guy broke his leg and stuff, the ambulance came, for some reason, it didn't deter me for having this love to ride bikes. And I had a mate of mine, and my dad, I always wanted dirt bikes, because I had all this property to ride on, but my dad couldn't afford it. Even if he could, I doubt he would have bought me one. But my friend and I would make up for it by getting on our bicycles. And does anybody remember that TV show Chips? Dun, 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 dun. So we would ride around. There were two cops that rode their motorcycles and went around doing their police thing. And so we'd ride around on our bicycles pretending that he was John and I was always Punch. And we would save our little sisters from, you know, the different scenarios they'd get themselves into. So I just, this love of motorcycles was in me from a kid. And I got married a bit later on, and my in-laws had Harley Davidson. So, yes, I married into the right family. And we, you know, I got rides on the back of them and stuff. My mother-in-law had a trike for a while. But I never actually learned how to ride myself at this stage. And it wasn't until about 15 years ago, actually during a season in my own life, where everything was just suddenly falling apart. I had had an amazing life. I grew up in a good, loving, godly family. I was a top athlete in my school and through college and university. I had good grades. I was popular. I had a call to the ministry when I was in university. And then when I was going to Bible college, I met the man that I married. And we were married for 4 years. We had finished Bible school together. We had moved to Texas. I was a youth pastor. He was continuing to finish some studies, and all seemed to be going pretty well. And literally, in a span of a few weeks, I suddenly had no car, no home, no job. We were about to be ordained as ministers in the church we were serving. And I was told that I couldn't be ordained because of everything else that was going on. And I had no husband. In the span of about 2 to 3 weeks. What I did have was complete and utter brokenness. I was devastated. I was in shock. I was despairing. And I was brokenhearted. And I'm not here today to tell you all the details of all that was going on, but rather to tell you about my God, who is the healer of the brokenhearted. Because I believe there are people here today who are broken on the inside. Last night I was leading a prayer meeting, and after it was all over, two ladies came up to me and separately, and they just asked me to pray for them. And both of them literally spoke those words to me, though. They admitted, "I am broken on the inside." It was just God's way last night of confirming to me that this morning, that there are people here that are broken on the inside, and God wants to minister his healing presence to you today. He wants to remind us that he is close to the brokenhearted. He does heal, and he binds up the wounds on the inside of us. Some that no one ever else knows about or sees. So I was in this place of my own brokenness where I decided to learn to ride, and I bought a bike within 1 week. In America, you can take a 3-day course. You can take the driver's test at the end of it. You go the next week and you take the written test. And the next few days, I had a 750cc bike all to myself in a week. And I was riding around. I learned on a little, well, if you don't know anything, bikes, you know, just a 150 or something like is what I learned to ride on. And then I just jumped right up to a 750, and there you have it. And but riding for me was something more than just a hobby. It actually represented something deeply meaningful, because it was something God was using to bring restoration and healing to my soul. And I'm not sure that I can explain that to you very well, but because I had this desire to ride ever since I was a child, in this season of utter brokenness in my life, it was like it was God's way of saying to me, "I love you. I'm blessing you. I'm showing you that I'm close to you in your brokenness." And as I rode, something of his presence and his healing I began to experience when everything else was falling apart. And in that time, God was also challenging me with a question. And it's a question I want to submit to you today, and particularly those of you who may be feeling broken on the inside. The question God spoke to me was this: Candace, when everything else in your life is stripped away, home, your job, car, your ministry, your husband, when everything else is stripped away, am I enough for you? And it wasn't a question that I could answer quickly, spontaneously. It was something that I had to work and process through. God was saying, will you trust me with your heart and all of its pieces right now? In the long journey ahead, will you come to me? Will you let me be the one to heal you and to mend you? And I did come to that place where I finally answered, yes, God. When everything else is stripped away, you are enough for me. And it was at that moment that God began to show me some things that I could do to actually accelerate the healing process in my life. Because God is the healer of our souls. But when it comes to our broken lives and our broken hearts, He also needs our cooperation. And what He revealed to me was that the speed of our healing is largely determined by our willingness to come to Him, to learn from Him, and to put into practice what He shows us. And very simply, I want to share with you quickly three things that were catalysts for the healing of my broken heart. And if you are here today, personally, you might need to hear these things because you are broken on the inside. If you are not experiencing that in your life right now, listen as one who knows people around you who are broken, because I guarantee you do. Listen to receive something that you can either pray into their lives or that you can speak into their lives and encourage them with in the coming days. First thing was one day I was in utter despair. I was still an associate pastor of a church, and I went into the sanctuary. I went into the church. No one was there but me. And I was just sitting down there, and I was angry, and I was weeping, and I was questioning God. I was a loss of what to do. My heart was literally physically aching on the inside of me. And for some reason, I ended up coming up, and I was standing at the pulpit looking out over an empty congregation, and the Lord just brought me to this stillness. And I looked down, and there was a hymnal, a book with all the songs that we sing. And I looked down, and I just opened it up, and I began to sing. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give Him the glory, because great thing is. And I just kept singing, I'm flipping song, and I kept singing song after song after song. And the presence of God just descended on me in that place. And I began to weep, but this time I was weeping as a result of the healing presence of God that was working through my heart and my life. I was experiencing God being close to the brokenhearted. And He was teaching me this lesson of the power of praise and thanksgiving in the midst of our brokenness. You see, because what was happening was I was taking my focus off of myself, off of my circumstances, off of my pain, and I was placing it upon the God of love and grace and mercy and compassion and goodness and faithfulness. And as I did that, His presence just washed over me. And that is because he says in his word, if you will draw near to me, I will draw near to you. And so what we are doing when we literally begin to come to God and we begin to praise him and we begin to sing to him, that is our expression of drawing near to God. And what he does in response to that is he draws close to us. And so our praise becomes an opening for God to come and move and bring his healing and to bind up the wounds that are on the inside of us. And every time I intentionally draw near to him in my brokenness, it opens the way for his presence. The second thing that was a catalyst for my healing, I was in my lowest moment. And I locked myself in my house and I went upstairs and I sat on my couch and I said, God, I am not getting off this couch until you tell me what to do. Because I was just at that point, I didn't know what to do. I was hurting so deeply and I wasn't hearing God speak to me. And I said, I am not getting off this couch until you speak to me. And I sat there for 3 hours. And it wasn't a passive sitting. You know, it's like in the old Westerns when you got the two cowboys staring each other, you know, getting ready for a, you know, who's going to move first. It was that kind of waiting before God. Go ahead. Who's going to shoot first? 3 hours, a lady from my church comes knocking on my door. And so I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I was not going to answer the door. And so I kind of curl up on the couch. But what she starts to do is go around the house looking through all the windows. And for some, I don't know how it happened, but she saw me. And so I couldn't avoid her. And so I actually had to go to the door and I let her in. And she began to talk to me and tell me about how God had just put me on her heart. And she had to come and she had to find me. She was worried and concerned and praying. And she goes, you know, you need to get out and you need to eat. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. She goes, there's services at the church right now. This guy is speaking. Why don't you come? And I'm, no, I don't want to. And I don't know how she did it, but she convinced me to go out to dinner with her and to come to the service that night. And when I got to that service and when we got into that sermon, it was one of those nights, one of those experiences where you know that the word is being spoken just for you. And he was preaching from Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And the word of the Lord just hit me. And the second catalyst for my healing that God was teaching me in that moment was when God sends people to you in your brokenness, let them in. Seriously. Because when you are in a place of brokenness, the temptation is to retreat and to avoid those that God is actually sending to you to bring a message and a word from heaven to you. Let them in. They're a catalyst to something he wants to do and something he wants to speak to you. And then the third thing that was a catalyst for my healing was through that verse I just read. And it says, let us run with perseverance. Our healing most often happens in stages when you're so broken God doesn't usually just do it in a moment and everything's sorted. Even just up to 4 years ago, I was already here in Australia, and I was at a meeting, and this lady came up to me and said, "Can I pray for you?" I don't know what about. I just know that I need to pray for you. And she started praying for me. And she just put her hands down here on my stomach. And she just prayed and prayed and prayed in the Spirit over me. And just something was happening on the inside of me. And I had no idea what it was. And I went home and I said, "God, what in the world happened? I feel different. Something on the inside of me is free. It's been released. What happened?" And I sat down and God took me to the scriptures and he explained to me exactly what he had set me free from. In this depth of betrayal that was still on the inside of me. That was not just from my husband leaving, but from two other relationships since then of betrayal. And I didn't even know that it was affecting me. I didn't even know that it was there to the depth. But God sees into our souls and he says to us, "I've got this. I know exactly what you need, when you need it, and I've got this." And so the third thing that he revealed to me was just that sense of perseverance. Persevere and know that God will bring the fullness of healing in his way, in his timing. And be open to whenever he brings someone along to say, "Can I pray for you?" But he's probably going to use that person or that situation to bring another depth of healing into your life that you didn't even know you need. There are some of you sitting here today who need another level of healing today, ministered to by the Lord, you didn't even know you needed. So three things. Praise the Lord. Draw near. Draw near to you. Let people in. Let them be a catalyst for what God wants to do in your life. And thirdly, persevere with God, keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus through it all. Bow your heads with me. I'm just going to ask you guys to play that song quietly. And I just want to invite you to just take a few minutes . Are you like those ladies that I saw last night who just says, "I know I'm broken inside"? Just coming and you're sitting here and you're listening to the testimonies and stories today, and you know it's broken on the inside. Maybe your life is a mess. Maybe you're just feeling empty. Will you humble yourself enough to say today, "I'm broken and I need you, God, to come and bind up some wound today"? God's grace is available today to bind up and heal broken hearts. Take a few minutes to be still. Talk to the Lord if you need to. Ask Chris to come. Close our service. Feels led. Raising up the bridge.